Okay. All right. So, who'd like to start with something?
I will.
Okay, go for it.
It's been a little quiet the last part of my month here, but the first part was pretty active with the things that I'm going through with some of the visitations and the journey I'm on with my 12-month experience that I started in January. It's been quite exciting. So tomorrow is when I will be introduced again to my new messenger, so I'm anticipating that. But it's been quite an amazing 3 months so far, especially with the fact that I've been connected with you and with this new fresh stimulation of my spirit because of what's happening. So I want to just wanted to add that I've had three visitations, or I should say three angelic messengers. Now, what I'm finding out, Mike, is that these have been with me for a long, long time. The one that came to me in March, April, see, where am I? I forget, January, February, said he came to me that when I was 8 years old. He's been with me ever since. So I've been hearing that these angelic messengers that are coming this year to me are kind of like on the same level, if I can say, as familiar spirits, because they're familiar with me. They've been with me so long, and that's why they're interacting with me now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think we have angels assigned, and they're usually classed guardian angels, but that's really just a sort of coverall term. I mean, they are ministering spirits sent to those who will be heirs of salvation, and we are heirs of salvation, and therefore their responsibility in with us is to help us with our inheritance and outworking our destiny. They're very much underworked because, as you say, you've only now engaged what was with you since you've been eight. I mean, but they are active in helping us connect, making kingdom connections, mileposts on our journeys. They're very involved, and we also have an angel that's on our mountain in heaven. That until we mature to a place where we can engage that mountain, that angel very much is responsible for administering the kingdom around us and helping to engineer situations and circumstances that get us on the right path and move us into the right direction. And they're so much more involved than you're making me smile there. So much more involved than what we think, But the more we actually actively engage with them and are able to commune and fellowship with them, then the easier it is for us to be able to pick up those messengers, get the direction that they bring us into new seasons, and we get much more in terms of a revelatory encounter and experience because of that. And I think, it's great that you're now beginning to engage those that have been with you all this time. It's not that they've been inactive doing nothing, and they've certainly kept us out of a lot of trouble sometimes, and they've directed us into things that God would, have us impart. Even though we've not necessarily heard them direct, they do go before us and prepare. And whenever we speak the word of God, they listen and they respond. Even when we've not learned to directly communicate with them or hear them, they recognize the voice of God. They recognize when we speak according to that our destiny, and we begin to declare and decree things from that place, they respond. And I like the sort of the illustration that when Abraham sent out his servant to find a son or a wife for his son. He declared, the angel of the Lord will send an angel before you to prepare the way, because he was sending him out on a mission, and that he knew that God would send angels to do some of the work and prepare the way for all those things,
Mm.
because you know, Abraham, it's no point having an heir that doesn't have any children. So it was in God's plan that, you know, Abraham would have Isaac, and Isaac would have Jacob, and Jacob would have his sons. That was all God's plan for the generations to increase. And, you know, there were angels involved in that plan. You know, you've got the angelic engagements with Abraham, with Melchizedek, and, you know, some of the other angels there that were associated with engaging him. You know, you have Jacob very clearly engaging, you know, the angel at Bethel, and, you know, and open heaven. And it's all there for us when we look back and see how much angels were involved with those that were, in a sense, the founding fathers, if you like, and the fathers of faith. You know, we then can begin to engage and look at the early church and look at how much angelic involvement was there. And it's, you know, very clear that God is wanting us to understand and to cooperate and work with them in so much more, and to understand that they are there to serve. You know, that's the key. They're there to serve us, because we are the heirs of salvation. They aren't. They are there to help us with that. And so I think in these days, certainly a lot of the religious spirits that have been hindering the church in embracing understanding how the angelic realm works, you know, are now being exposed, and the challenges are for us to follow that and to engage in it. So yeah, it's great. I'm you know, looking forward to hearing some more of the testimony of what you're going to get over the next 9 months.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, it's very exciting. I've had a lot of over the years, like you say, I've had a lot of people say they've seen angels as I've been ministering, but we haven't. We just take that kind of like a background. Well, yeah, I believe in it, but to engage it and to know that we can walk with it is well, more than exciting. Of course, it's revelatory.
It is, yeah. And I think it is a key for us to enter into the fullness of our inheritance. We can't do it just in this natural realm. We must engage heaven, and we must engage being a royal priest. You know, Melchizedek was after that royal priesthood. You know, Jesus is after that order. He goes as a forerunner for us and brings us into that order. So, you know, I think there's so much more for us to discover. And, you know, once you then begin to realize that there are so many angels involved in different legislative processes, and, you know, and we technically use the term angel, but, I mean, we're talking about created spiritual beings, really, and they come in all sort of shapes, sizes, and functions, and, you know, we learn to engage them. So, yeah, it's excellent.
Just to shift a little bit, maybe you could speak into this. I told you about that courthouse that I remodeled in the south somewhere that I go to where I meet wisdom in my courtroom or in my office. I found out this last month that that's a portal or a place for me to enter into the spiritual things or into the realms of God. So would that be something that, like an altar that we build, or something that God opens up for us? For me now, I can go there and step into the spirit, as it were, or the realms of God for that moment.
Yeah, I mean, there are places that do have special meaning, and there are portals that are open. I mean, Bethel was obviously an example of that, because God told Jacob to remain at Bethel and to live there under that open heaven, and he didn't. And, you know, some of his problems were stemming from the fact that he wasn't in the place that was in that angelic arena and with an open heaven and with angels going up and down, and with him to access up and down, because it was a ladder that was formed on the earth to go to heaven, not the other way around. So there are places like that. Some of those, you know, we have one here in our building, and there's a portal here that you know, is an ancient portal, and we've had some really interesting things come through that, and some fragrances and smells and all sorts of things that people have smelt where that portal is. But sometimes those portals can be places for not just good things to come through. And so there are often sentinel angels that guard them to ensure that negative things don't come through. Some of them you would be seen as, I don't know, the issue of ley lines and interconnecting parts of places of power where they're a residue of what was open, where the glory of God was poured out onto the earth. And sometimes you have in you know, places where there are connections, you know, where everlasting doors are connected. And so there are places of engagement. You know, and I think everyone needs to find the way that God gives them revelation to access and enter. For me, you know, it's just a place where God has opened a door and invited me to come through. So I don't sort of, in a sense, think too much about where it is as much as, you know, that I can access it in my spirit. So that realm is not a physical place for me, although it may well have a physical connection. I just engage by stepping through it. But if that's what God has revealed to you, then, you know, that's what you go with. You know, it's a portal which you can then use. And I think all of us have different ways of engaging and different places that are significant in that. You know, certainly God called Jacob to that place and opened that realm for him. So, you know, there's certainly a very clear biblical precedent for portals and places which have a significant open heaven environment over them. And of course, you know, we're supposed to begin to administer the everlasting doors so that we can begin to open them. Most of the problem comes is that we haven't dealt with the atmosphere of the earth that is where the blockages take place. So, you know, we see in revival settings where everlasting doors get open and the glory of God gets poured out, but then you usually find that through relational difficulties and problems that the enemy gets in and blocks it off, which is why we've got to make sure that we maintain relationship and ensure that the enemy gets no access to those things, because that's always his tactic, to spoil relationships, create, you know, conflict, so that he can block off the things that God wants to do. And you sort of go back and look at, you know, history of revivals, you know, it was never God's intention to stop them. It's just the enemy used the difficulties in things to stop it and to close it off. When my very first encounter into heaven, God showed me how that worked and showed me a portal open and showed me glory being poured out and then took me down into the atmosphere and showed me what happens when angels, fallen angels, and latch onto the things that we're doing that then they use to give them legal rights to close off. Because where there's unity, there can be commanded blessing. Where there's disunity, there can be closed blessing. And we have to be continually aware of that to make sure that we are, you know, one heart, one mind, and one purpose, so that that blessing can be continually open. So yeah, sounds very interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi.
Hiya.
Kristen has a question. I do. I thought you.
Pass the buck. Go on then.
So we're just going to throw it your way just for the fun of it. Yeah. So there's two samurai angels that are standing behind us that I've never seen before. I've not even seen a samurai regalia before.
There are all sorts of different angels that that we are connected with, and some of them are warrior angels. And, you know, those that are connected to us sometimes are there permanently, in that they are our angels that are assigned to us and we can work with them. Sometimes you get seasonal things that you get angels come for a season, or even for a meeting that you begin to engage with.
I sensed it was because we're together in the same room. I went, oh, look at that.
Yeah, because
this is the first time we've met.
Okay. Well, in a sense, your angels will definitely be interacting with one another, because they're operating in the same realm. Now, I believe that when we come together, you know, one can put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. So there's a tenfold exponential increase when we come together in agreement. and therefore there must be an increase in angelic activity when we come together in agreement. And I think we have to be open for that. And you know, sometimes our angels have real fun. You know, I mean, when they begin to engage, I mean, they're not sort of, sometimes they're pretty fierce and you get warrior angels, but I, you know, sometimes angels, they have personality. You know, they're not neutral in they have certain personality. And actually, I believe that sometimes that personality can, either we reflect theirs, they reflect ours. I'm not sure how it works, but it does have a, you know, they spent a long time with us. You know, as George was talking earlier, you know, one's been with him since he was 8, you know, on assignment. So, you know, there's a sense where they are very familiar with us, and, you know, they can have fun. You know, and they do have a lot of laughs at our expense sometimes when you think of the stuff we get up to. You know, it's like, you know, they look, oh, what are they doing now? You know, and when the two of you get together, I'm sure they're having a hilarious time.
Tell them what you were seeing.
Oh, what? Oh, it was interesting. So I was sitting here, I'm just having to look around while you're talking and stuff, and it's interesting. We both have straight jackets on, except for we can move our arms, yet we're tied together here, like we're...
Siamese twins.
Like we're enjoying twins. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Yeah, because I think some of these things are, they're prophetic things that happen when we come into a situation that has significance. You know, and sometimes there's a weight, and sometimes there are spiritual manifestations of things in this realm, which are indications of things that go on in the spiritual realm, which we need to take note of, you know, and then they're not coincidental. And when you sort of begin to make a connection, then you're looking at where destinies intersect and where, you know, relationships and connections in the kingdom are designed. You know, because God has all those relationships for us. Once we discover them, sometimes He has to do something that gives you a, hey, this is a significant thing. So, yeah, interesting.
So we were just, she says that I was activating her seeing thing.
All of a sudden I'm just seeing at a different level by hanging, just being conjoined with her.
I know, we're kind of like...
I've never seen anything on you, but you have like those admiral doodad things that sit on the shoulder?
Epaulette.
No, not the stripes, they're the little tassel thing that hang on. That's on your shoulder. I've never seen anything like that before. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so people do see lots of things. And I think, again, if you're thinking of it, there's a multiplication when we come together, then, and particularly when you come together and there's a joining of hearts, then you're gonna have an outworking of that multiplied in each other to help, you know, which will be part of what we do. You know, it talks about iron sharpening iron, but it's like there's a sense where what we carry begins to activate each other. You know, in an exponential way, you know, which is why when you get groups of people come together in real unity, you can have a, you know, a sort of ongoing manifestation of that really at work. So very interesting. Yeah,
it is interesting. I've had just some major in the last March has been just an incredible month for me. Things that I've been waiting for a very long time, maybe 10 years, are starting to, or have happened. And it's interesting that it's going to coincide with your time here. There was a huge thing that happened with the Houses of Prayer in Portland and seeing Vancouver, you know, finally for the first time going, wow, Vancouver's important. And I've been over here for 10 years going, hello, 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 you know. And so finally for the first time, they're like, wow, Vancouver's important for us. So on May 8th, I think we're going to launch the National Day of Prayer here, and then they're all going to come help us, which they never do. They never come over this side of the river, and going to do some repenting, and that's after we took the city into the court.
Yeah.
And then even Sunday, just coming full circle and having a huge reconciliation thing that happened that I never thought I would see it happen. I mean, I really thought I would die and never see what happened Sunday night. And it's just, it's so good. It's like, I don't know why. Maybe it's people say it's your time and, you know, it's your time of favor, your time of grace. And I'm like, no, it's time for the city. You know, because, yeah, the Lord shows me that the things that happen to me are corporate. You know, like the Bill Yunt kind of not trained me, but I followed him. And he says when he gets something and a prophetic word, it's normally a corporate word. And so, anyway, it's just really interesting how everything is just happening.
Yeah. Well, it is obviously no coincidence. And, you know, there's a lot of activity going on in what's going on, even with sort of all the different groups starting to come together, communicating with one another, beginning to look at, okay, what are the purposes for our areas? You know, what is that? And we're looking at government. I'm doing quite a lot of sort of background preparation things in terms of declarations and, you know, sending out angels and shaking some things, and because that's what I feel, you know, called to do, you know. And, you know, I don't normally talk about it because it's just something I get mandated to do certain things. I release it and I do it, and it's up to God for the, you know, response. But I'm sure other people are also doing that. There's a sense where people are beginning to take heavenly responsibility for this region, hence, you know, why I feel it's really important to come and look to support and encourage and do whatever I can to help the process, because it is an important one. Because I think this will be a pattern for other places in the US, in the Northwest, Northeast, then Southeast, Southwest, and, you know, it will be a pattern then for other nations. What happens when regions begin to come together governmentally and the purposes of God begin to get accelerated, and you start to see things like that, things that you never ever thought would happen, all of a sudden things get shaken loose. You know, there's a shaking coming, and that shaking is because of the declarations that people are making in the realms of heaven, and it begins to shake loose some of the things that have been chained up, locked up, you know. And things become free and freer. And those are some of the things that we have to start to expect to take place. So it's great hearing, you know, some of the testimonies of that. So, yeah, keep going. And, yep. And I'm sure as
you area.
Things together, it will begin to multiply again, you know. So.
Yeah, because this area has been zipped up tight. I mean tight. It's been zipped. There's been no movement. I mean, I've lived here for a while, and it's crazy in the last year, the unzipping. It's and even taking the intercessors for VHOP, we took the city and the county into the courtroom, and I tell you, it just opened up. It just started, and that was just last week. And all this stuff just started happening. And I wish we'd done that, you know, way before.
Yeah, but it's timing, isn't it? It's timing and revelation. And that the timing of that is beginning to open up, because now there are people who can administrate it. Because people are now administrating it in heaven, not just trying to do the administration on earth, which was what was going on. And it was never going to succeed because it was under everything. You know, if you're trying to administer everything here, you're under what's above that, and we have to be above that to see the administration be effective. And that's the revelation that we're now getting of where we have to do things first in the realms of heaven so it can be manifested on earth. You know, and just imagine what it's going to be like when you're able to clear the atmosphere and begin to rule in that atmosphere and actually see the everlasting doors open permanently. And that's where you're going to get cities of refuge, where everlasting doors are open, kept open, and the glory of God is manifested on the earth, and the kingdom will be manifested in a full dimension where we operate in that authority and power. But you can't open an everlasting door from here. You know, you can't access it from here. You can only access it from above. And that's why the revelation that we're getting and how we can administer, how we can operate in the judicial authority, how we can begin to get mandates and how we can engage the angels in some of that business and, you know, get their assignments into it. All those things are why we're starting to see these things begin to change. And we're just at the tip of the iceberg compared to what's coming. So, you know, I think it's going to be a bit of a wild ride for some people. Yeah.
What I'm finding is a level of freedom in my own life. I've always I've been a forerunner for a long time, and so you know, I know that when you say things and, you know, you get flack for, but I'm finding right now that I don't know if it's a level of favor or if it's because I'm, you know, my gateways, all that. I don't know if it's all that, but I just don't give a crap anymore. And so I'm going into these places and just telling it like it is. I don't think I've ever had this level of freedom with the grace and the power underneath it to actually you know, see things move the way they're moving. In fact, Sunday night when this, it was just crazy what happened. It's just this huge testimony, and I had people stand on top of the chair, and we were making declarations over the, and these people have no grid, I mean nothing, and they're all like, you know, getting on top of the chair and kind of copycatting me. And then, you know, I was just talking about, I stood up and I said, we're just going to legislate government a little bit. And everyone's like, what? And, you know, just asking for the blueprint as a corporate thing. And what's the original intent? And everyone is like, yeah, what's the original intent? You know, it was like this whole, let's jump in the pool with her, you know, kind of thing. And it's been so different because the pathway that I've had to plow has been kind of, well, it's been alone. And now it's like everything is kind of expanding exponentially, and it's really cool because it brings a level of freedom in me to be who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, and that's the big issue is you find your identity and that opens the door for that to be released. You know, if you don't know who you are, then you're not going to be able to do what you're called to do, because everything comes out of identity rather than, well, I have this sort of plan on my life. But it only comes out through knowing who we are, because our destiny is completely in enmeshed with the identity as sons. And if we don't know that we're sons and the authority that sons carry, then what we can do is limited. Because we're limited by what we believe. And if we've believed the rubbish and the stuff that other people have said, and we've been restricted by other people's views and all the stuff that's been on people, and now God's lifting that off because we can now see, this is who I really am. This is my authority as a son. And it's nothing to do with how good I am or what I've done to earn it. It's because I have been adopted into a family and I am a son, you know, and I've been given sonship and the authority of sonship, which then, you know, releases me. Like you're just saying, you're released, you feel free. Well, sons are free, slaves aren't, stewards aren't, servants aren't, but sons are free from the mindsets that restrict us. And the mindset of slavery is a massive one that people live in, and they don't realize it, but they live as slaves rather than free men. And therefore, slavery versus sonship is a massive issue, and that's why God is freeing us, removing all the blockages and everything up that stops us being who we really are, which is sons of God, and engaging in knowing his heart, and then the mandate for our destiny can be released because we know who we are. You know, sometimes you if you were to read your scroll and look at your destiny without knowing who you are, you wouldn't recognize it as yours because you would be thinking, that couldn't possibly be me. You know, and some people look at, you know, if God actually said and told people really what they were going to do, so most people would just not recognize it because of their mindset, because they don't believe they're worthy of and don't believe it's possible for them. But when you are brought into a revelation of who you are, then you know it's nothing to do with what you've earned or deserved or not deserved. It's all to do with what he has appointed you to and what his thoughts are of you and his purposes and the plan that he has for you. Then once you embrace that, yeah, that belongs to me. That is my inheritance, and I'm going to have my inheritance because Jesus died so that I could have it. Then we can start to embrace that freedom. And then it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. You know, that's why when we come into the revelation of this, it brings so much freedom, because all it matters is that I'm recognized in heaven and the angels recognize my governmental authority. I don't really care whether anyone on earth recognizes it or not, because that's not where most of the work gets done. Most of the stuff gets done in the realms of heaven where, you know, I'm recognized. You know, and I'm not looking for earthly recognition. It matters. It doesn't matter at all whether people say anything or not say anything, or know anything or don't know anything. But heaven recognizes it, and that frees us. It frees us from having to perform. It frees us from the fear of man. It frees us from what people think. We don't care about reputation because we haven't got one. It doesn't matter what people think about us or say about us, because if heaven is saying good things and recognizing that we've been given those positions of authority and the angelic realm recognize it, then that's what really matters. And that is very, very liberating. It really is.
One of the things I'm finding, because I've been saying the same kind of things for a long time. You know, I remember when I first came back from France into this area in 05, we'd been living here since 97, but I remember being at a, like, 05, 06, and I was at a prayer meeting, and I had read this thing, and where this guy was on a ship, and he commanded the angels, and I went, and I started commanding the angels, and then I went to this prayer meeting and told him what I'd done, and everyone stood up and says, "You can't command angels," and I went, "Well, I just did." And so it was like, and so it's kind of weird because I would do things like that then, and I would get all this flack, and so I would just, you know, all the railing that happens when you're breaking through. And so, but now what I'm finding is I'm saying the same things, but around me is different, and I don't know, I don't know what, maybe it's timing. Maybe it's I don't know, but it's everyone's starting to listen, and maybe there's been a breakthrough in what's in the city and what's, you know, clamping down on people so they're not able to receive, because I'm able to say things with a lot less revile, you know, with a, because I would go and I would say something and I would just brace myself for it, you know.
Well, that's what you call bracy, isn't it?
Bring it on, man. Bring it on, you know. But I'm going to say this because this is, you know, this is my testimony. I remember I was in one place and the guy says he started teaching Christians can't have demons, so I printed out my deliverance and I said, "Well, what do I do with this?" And then he didn't talk to me anymore. So, because I was been a Christian and I got delivered. So, It feels different, and maybe it's what you're doing over the area. I don't know. But it feels so different.
Yeah, but if you think of that, you are being a gateway of heaven. You're clearing the gateways in your life. Things are flowing through you from heaven. then they're manifesting around you. So you are creating an area of government that you're ruling into, and when people come into connection with that, they're experiencing the rule of God, the kingdom. And it's like Jesus came along, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, the only way the kingdom of heaven was at hand, because it was coming through his life. And the same happens with us. We can say the kingdom of heaven is at hand because actually heaven is manifesting itself through us as a gateway, so that then that atmosphere can flow around us. You know, like the river of living water is not dammed up in us any longer. It's actually flowing out around us, and that is having an effect. And people can feel the effect even though they don't necessarily understand it, because government is being administered. That's the key. You're administering government. We're all beginning to administer government. Therefore, that will have a major effect on things, because government brings change. It administers God's purposes and God's will, and therefore deals with the objections and changes the obstacles, because government says we shift these mountains. Jesus said, speak to the mountains and move them. Well, we know mountains are positions of authority, and those that we want to shift are those that are in the way, that are hindrances and blockages to God's mountain being raised up and the kingdom being manifested in authority. So we're shifting mountains. Those obstacles are being removed, so that we're now operating in a greater dimension of authority. You know, and some people are more aware of what they're doing, and therefore it's more of a deliberate, this is my authority and I'm releasing it and I'm administrating it. And some people are just beginning to break through into seeing some of these things happening, and it's like, wow, what's going on? And learning then to embrace that and to say, okay, I need to be able to begin to operate in more of this and learn how to govern, how to rule. You know, Zechariah 3, you know, we've been walking in his ways for a long time. Now we're starting to begin to administer the principles of the kingdom, and then there's going to be a ruling of the house and a charge of the courts, then access to the assemblies of God. And that is a process of maturity into sonship that we're on. And as you mature, greater things start to happen. You know, sometimes that's greater things that you see around you. Sometimes that's greater things which are happening in the realm that you are not, most people don't see, but there's an increase and an acceleration of those things that are happening. You know, like George was saying earlier, you know, he's had these angelic engagements and messengers and bringing revelation, because this is the season that God is calling us to cross over the line. You know, that old order is ended, and those old ways are now no longer working, and more people are looking for what's new, because they're knowing something's got to change. You know, it's like, I think some people have cottoned on to the fact that you keep doing the same stuff, you're going to keep getting the same results, and they're not going to be the results that we want, you know, which is the definition of insanity, according to Einstein. You know, and actually, most of the church has been operating like that. You know, we'll try and make things more efficient and effective in things that don't work anyway. So we'll try and hone their efficiency and effectiveness in not working, you know, which is just madness. But that's how we've been conditioned to do it, because we've not been operating in heavenly government. You know, now we are beginning to operate in heavenly government, and people that God is calling us to embrace that, then the earthly governments which have been established and which have been operating will no longer cease to have that authority. God is removing it, you know, which is why there's a vacuum that we have to fill, you know, and so God is looking for those willing volunteers who are willing to go and pave the way and be forerunners and go and spy out the land and then begin to give a good report, which is what's happening. Yes, why the testimonies are good reports. Hey, we can take the land. We can, yeah, we're going to slay the giants. We're going to take our inheritance, you know, which is a spiritual inheritance for us, which is going to have a practical outworking and a transformation of what we're supposed to bring dominion into, which is the earth. Well, the cosmos, effectively. not just this planet. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Go for it. Okay. Has anyone else got anything? Josh, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just listening, taking it all in. A lot of stuff is just kind of taking my notes and going to go, you know, study. And and I really appreciate the time. Really is helping me to grow. So thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. All right. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, just wanted to say, hey, no, I'm just listening, just continuing the process. So I don't have any particular questions this morning. So whoever wants to go, feel free. Hey, everybody, God bless you.
That's great. Okay. Come on, Kristen.
Okay, I knew you were going to ask me. So... I call them an envelope, but it's like, and I'm seeing them in both places. I'm seeing them in heaven. I'm seeing them here, and the people in the cloud of witnesses, including the Godhead, reached through them. And I call them an envelope because it's like this little slip in the atmosphere, and they reach through and they pull something back. So. What do you do with that? And so I've just been practicing. I go, well, shoot, if they can pull their hand through it, I can too. So I've been putting my hand through, and it's just, I call it an envelope. That's all I know that it is. But they're showing up places, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, essentially, whether you call it an envelope or a portal or a window of heaven or a doorway or an everlasting door, in a sense, it's just that there is an opening. That we can begin to engage in both ways, you know, and I think that's the key. You know, we can engage through that and engage back that way, but also we can see things come from that realm through this one. And in one sense, you are an envelope. You know, this is, you are a portal, you are a gateway. And, you know, for all of us, we are. And that, once we begin to recognize that, then we become a source, a place of flow, you know, a place where the kingdom can begin to at work, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. But there are plenty of exciting things when, you know, you get angels coming through those, you know, and an envelope, you know, for most people, an envelope is something you put a letter in, but actually there's a technical term, you know, when it comes to, there's an envelope associated with flight. And in terms of space travel and different things, there are other meanings for an envelope. And we're going to see more and more openings. And, you know, even if you think of it as an envelope in one sense, basically that usually carries a message. You know, it carries something within it, a gift, something that will bring revelation, something that will bring an opening up of a realm. And I think that's what we're seeing, opening up of realms, you know, spiritual realms, dimensional realms, things are opening more and more. And it's really exciting, you know, and sometimes I just sort of, you know, I love being in corporate gatherings where these sort of things happen because I just can sort of step back and watch, you know, and have fun because, you know, I don't need to do it. That's the great thing. You know, when you've equipped a whole load of other people and you suddenly see them start to do these things and, you know, sometimes they open portals with flags and colors and dance and all sorts of stuff opens portals, you know, and people begin to do things and I just sort of watch and think, wow, look at all this stuff going on, you know, look at all the different realms. And sometimes, you know, I sort of say, okay, yeah, here's it. I mean, on Sunday morning, it was like, people who were doing some things, and there was just a myriad of angels just showed up, and they all had, in one hand a scroll, and in the other hand a like a facet of a diamond. It was almost like this shining facet of a diamond, and they were just hovering over everyone. And several people saw them and or engaged with them, and I just said, look, okay, let's reach up, take the scroll, because there's something written on it. Of a thought of God about you today, take that scroll and put it in your heart. Take that facet which is shining, which is a facet of the multi-manifold wisdom and grace of God, a revelation for you and take it. And people began to do it, and things, you know, things started to minister. And we have to sort of see that that's going to become more and more commonplace, because essentially what you're seeing is an sort of superimposition, or one realm superimposed over another. So you don't know where you are. You know, am I in heaven? Am I on earth? Where am I? It just feels that this feels like a place for the manifestation of the person and the glory of God, and in a different way, in a different dimension. And we're starting to see more and more of that. And as more people begin to administrate it, and they become more, you know, envelopes and openings and portals for the manifestation of these things, we're going to see more and more. So yeah, it's really exciting what's happening, and you know, I'm sure you're going to see more and more of that. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens when I'm over with you, and you know, and actually, because you know, it's great to be, you know, in an atmosphere and an environment where, you know, there's a hunger and a passion and a thirst for what God's doing. So, you know, He will respond to that without a doubt. So awesome. So yeah. Can remember the term pushing the envelope, which they use in skating, and they used in surfing. It's like it's pushing the limits, you know, going beyond and entering into something new. You know, and so, and I think that's what we are all doing. We're pushing the envelope, and we're opening something up for others to come into something new and to experience something new. Which is awesome. Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead. Jesus. Can I jump in again?
Carry on.
So. For a few weeks, my mount, because I'm noticing different mountains, and so I'll say a mountain that is in a higher place that I know is my mountain. It's the one that I can look down all the way through to Sheol. I can see all the way through. Mm. How come it's floating? It's been floating for a while, and I'm getting underneath it and looking, but it's floating, and I just go, well, where are you going to land? Where are you? And, but I see the God, and I see Jesus there as mountains. I'm going, all right, it's just been floating for a while. I'm getting underneath it, because I think underneath it is all that stuff, like, you know, when Moses, I go, I bet that stuff's underneath it.
Yeah. There's, in the film Avatar, they have a whole load of floating things in this, which are, some of these things are just prophetic. They're just what it looks like. You know, my mountain is always like that. It's never, because there isn't anything for it to be on, because it's mobile, because it's moving into the different realms depending on what I'm doing. And yeah, I know Ian Clayton talks about the mountain that, you know, Sinai, you know, literally was not just fixed, you know, and there was something that, because of the interaction with heaven, made it, you know, of a other world, if you like. And it's the same in that sense. In the realms of heaven, they are, you know, once you begin to see, you can go into your mountain, there's rooms in your mountain, there's treasuries in your mountain, you know, it's more than just a something we sit on. It's a whole sphere of government, and therefore when Jesus went up into the mountain to pray, you know, he was going up into a realm of government. And you know, the fact that it's not fixed is a sense that there's a never-ending increase to his government. So it, not just won't it be fixed and floating, it will get bigger, and it will have greater spheres as those spheres increase. You know, and you know, when my mountain, it was always, for me, it was always like it was shrouded in mist, the bottom of it, because I'm on the top of it, and for me that was because I would have been tempted to focus on what was below. And now it's not shrouded in mist, and I'm seeing things from a different perspective. And I'm, as you're saying, you can see down through different levels and through into the realms that are now open, because those realms weren't necessarily open before. And what you can begin to see into, you can have an effect into. And yeah, I mean, the other day, you know, God spoke to me really clearly. He said, you know, stop hanging around there for so long. You need to come up here. And that I was hanging around in some realms, in the realms of heaven, that he wanted me to stop there. He said, you know that pathway really well, so just come up here. So I'm like, oh, okay. So, which is great, because sometimes, you know, you sort of follow, you're sort of going where you feel led to do and whatever. And, you know, still developing these pathways for me, you know, I'm learning as much as everybody else. So I'm learning to develop these pathways, learning to engage where they go. And, you know, God very clearly just said, right, I want you to come up and sit up here. And when I'm there in that place, I can see differently. It's a different perspective. You can see things differently from there than you can in some of the other places where I've sat. You know, and, you know, because it's the position that you occupy in government. You know, and there are higher realms of position that you can occupy. And that's why we're growing and maturing and learning to, you know, go from being in lordship, kingship, to sonship. And along the way, there are different things that you experience that help you understand where you are. Yeah. And, you know, on the kingship area, really, it was all about learning how to legislate. I'm not learning how to legislate, now I'm learning how to decree and outwork the legislation that was made. And that's different. It's just, I notice I'm doing different things. I'm saying different things. My spirit is just releasing different things from where I was before. Now, sometimes I go to that place and I begin to make some legislation and some mandates. Now I'm learning that you can begin to align things and begin to order things so that other things begin to take place, which I didn't realize before, you know. And, you know, and I'm just, you know, just touching the surface. You know, today, I mean, I've just started pulling together all the stuff on the 12 Chancellor's Houses and all my experiences there and the different things, and I'm just thinking, wow, there's quite a lot here. It's like I didn't quite, you know, because I just went to each one and wrote it down and then moved on to the next. I didn't really go back and look at any of them. I just moved on until I filled them all up and engaged them all. And now I'm like, now I need to actually see how this fits and how all these things begin to come together and align themselves so that, you know, there can be us administrating the circle of the deep and the 12 houses and how that works. And, you know, and I think because I've been to all those places, something changed, which is why God said, look, stop hanging around down there. You need to come out here. You know, so it's an exciting journey, and there's so much more to come, you know. So, awesome. I love floating mountains. That's great. Yeah, because they're not static, you know. You know, because everything about the kingdom is moving, expanding, growing, developing. Yeah, it's awesome. Very good. All right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it there.